Who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus to his disciples. Even today, so many voices going around about who Jesus is. Some say he's a philosopher, a great philosopher, a great teacher. I don't know why they add the word great if they're just going to limit him to be a philosopher or a teacher. Some call him a prophet, a messenger from heaven. Some have gone far enough to say he's a social activist, he's a revolutionary. There are some circles that call him an angel and that he's the brother of so-and-so, another angel, archangel in heaven. Some have even gone as far to say he's an alien, extraterrestrial from another world. Some have even confessed him to be the Son of God, but they find difficulty in accepting him or receiving him as God, the Son. Colossians 2:9 says, For in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Today we want to deal with that foundational issue as to the idea that Jesus is who he said he was, and he said he was God. Where's the evidence? If you want to explain that to your coworkers, you want to explain that to your family that doesn't know Jesus, how do you prove him to be God? Where do you turn to for evidence that would establish him as who he said and proclaimed himself to be? Well, we can go to the scriptures. We find evidence in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, prophesied way before Jesus began to walk on this earth. Isaiah 7:14 says, Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Say son. And shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's the Son, and yet he's Emmanuel, God himself with us. Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born. Say child. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Some people don't have a problem with acknowledging that he was wonderful. The things he did, the things he spoke, wonderful. He did wonders that nobody had ever seen. Counselor. Some people have no problem receiving him as counselor, someone to give advice, direction, someone to show a way. But then it says, and we're talking about the Son. Unto us a Son is given, and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Okay, now you're confusing me. Is he the Son or is he the Father? You see, the Bible has no problem with that. You don't have to be tripped up as to who you're praying to. You're praying to God. You don't have to be confused. Am I talking to the Father in the name of Jesus, or am I talking to Jesus and coming in the name of the Father? Am I talking to the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and the Son? My friends, you're talking to God, the one who hears you. He's only one. He's always been one. He's the Ancient of Days, the one who was, who is, and is to come. Jesus himself told the religious leaders of the day, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They couldn't handle that too well. But his message was clear. His message was evident. He wasn't trying to hide anything. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, I and the Father are what? One. Is that up there? Okay. I and the Father am one. John 5:46 says, Had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. John 14:9, he says, He that hath seen me has seen the Father. John 16:28, I came forth from the Father. John 8:23, ye are from beneath, I'm from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. John 8:58, I say unto you, before Abraham was, he says, I am. And he was claiming the identity with the same great Jehovah God who told Moses on the mount, I am that I am, like Colin was singing, whatever you want him to be. You want him to be your peace, he's your peace. You want him to give you victory, he's your victory. You want joy, he's your joy. You want healing, he's your healing. I am that I am. They couldn't accept that. John 10:31 through 33 says that the Jews, the religious leaders of the day, took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them and said, Many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which one of those works do you stone me? Saying this on purpose, just to see if his point had gotten across, just to see if they had gotten his message. And they answered, For none of the good works we stone you, but for blasphemy. and because that thou being a man makes thyself, maketh thyself God. You see, they understood what he was saying. They didn't receive it. They didn't believe it. They had a hard time understanding that he really was who he's saying, but they understood that he was saying that. He was putting himself on equal terms with the Father. And they said, you being just a man, you're making yourself up to be God. They didn't know that it was God right before their eyes that had made himself man, that it was the incarnate God, the everlasting Father who had wrapped himself in flesh and come down to walk among us. They couldn't believe it. He spoke with such authority, not just because he had a word from heaven, but because he was the word from heaven. And the word of God says that the word was God. Amen? He had taken on flesh. They had never heard anybody, no prophet, no speaker, no rabbi, no teacher, no scribe had ever spoken like he had spoken. Because he was the very voice of heaven, the very voice of God. When he said, I am the light of the world, he wasn't saying, I can show you where the light is. I can show you how to get to the light. He was saying, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna that came down from heaven into the wilderness, but I am the bread of life. They were hungry again after they ate. They had to collect every day, but he who eats of this flesh, he who partakes of my life will never hunger again. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. His message was clear, my friends. His message was clear, clear evidence that he was who he said he was. But then again, there have been some unstable minds throughout history who have claimed themselves to be God and saviors of the world. And maybe they even believed it themselves. But could they do the miracles to back up their message? Did they have the declaration backed up with their deeds? You see, Jesus just didn't talk the talk. He walked the walk every day of his life. He confirmed with his miracles. His message was clear, but his miracles were confirmation that the words he was speaking were true. So can we look to his miracles as evidence that he is the Son of God? John 14:11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What he's saying, if you don't believe the words, I say, look at what I'm doing. If you're having a hard time understanding the theology of it all, just look. Look at what I'm doing day in and day out and believe me for the very work's sake. They're confirming that my message is true. If I'm saying I'm the way, the truth, and the life, let it be known that I am the truth and the way and the life, because I'm giving life and I'm revealing truth and I'm showing the way. All you have to do is look to what I'm doing. The skeptics told him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And he responds in John 10:25, I told you. His message was clear. And ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness that I am who I say I am. In Mark 2:5-12, the friends of a man with palsy bring him in his stretcher, and they can't fit in the house. There's too much of a crowd, a throng gathered around Jesus. So they make a way through the ceiling and through the roof. They remove some tiles and they lower him, stretcher down into the very presence of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, it says that he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And the people begin to murmur and complain. Who is this guy? He can't hear them with his ears. They're murmuring amongst themselves, but he knows their hearts. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. This is blasphemy. This guy is declaring himself to be God, and he's actually saving a soul. He's saving a soul. Salvation belongs to who? To the Lord, to God. Who is this man who declares you are forgiven? And him, knowing their hearts, knowing their heart of unbelief, he says, what's easier, to tell somebody your sins are forgiven or to tell him, get your stretcher, stand up and walk? A man who's paralyzed, a man who cannot walk. The doctors have declared him to be paralyzed. He cannot walk. What's easier? In other words, he was saying, anybody can go around saying, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, and not mean it, and not do anything, not change anybody's life. I can tell you you're saved, but only if God saves you and God declares you to be saved, then you are saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can tell you all will be well, but if God whispers it to your heart or thunders it within your heart, then it's reality. But God steps in and he speaks it, then it's different. And he said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, so that you will know who it is that's standing in your midst, so that you will know who it is that you're standing and you're witnessing before your very eyes. Take your stretcher, stand up and walk. And the man walked right before their eyes. They couldn't believe it. He was declaring that his message was true and that his power was confirming that he was the very God, the very Ancient of Days. Oh, the glory of Jesus walking and demonstrating his power through his miracles, power over nature, defying the very laws of creation. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him. He was there at creation when God said, let there be light, and there was light. So Jesus defies all the laws of nature as he walks and works the miracles. He turns water into wine. He walked on water and even caused Peter to walk on water with just the command, come Peter, just the mention of his name. My friends, he wasn't just displaying his power for the power's sake. He wasn't just putting on a show before humanity to lift himself up. He was speaking to us through his miracles. He was speaking to us through his power, turning water into wine. I'm speaking to marriages here. I'm speaking to families who have lost all taste for joy. There's no joy in your household. There's no joy in your relationship. There's no joy in your ministry. There's no joy in your service to God. My friends, he turns water into wine. He gives flavor to that which has lost it. He will do the miraculous. You think it's all hope is gone because all you have is water. He can change the very nature of it, the very composition of it, and make a miracle out of your life, a miracle out of your marriage, a miracle out of your family, your relationship with your children. He can turn water into wine. He did it for our sake. Every miracle he did was for our sake, that we would know that he is who he said he was. He walked on water. Why? Just to display that he can defy the laws of gravity and defy this thing of nature that would swallow him. No, so that you and I would know that those things which would naturally swallow us up, he's able to keep us afloat. He's able to give us victory. Where the enemy has said, you're going down, Jesus says, no, you're not. You're coming to me. You're drawing closer to me. And even when you get confused and you see the waves and you panic in your humanity, you begin to fall. He picks you up right there and he puts you in the boat. He puts you where you need to be. Hallelujah. Like we heard this morning, when our feet are not where they're supposed to be, Jesus comes and puts our feet where they belong, over the neck of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He rebuked the storm. He calmed the sea. So that you and I would know that when those storm waves rage against our hearts, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one who says, peace, be still. If you're in a storm today, know that he is who he said he was. He caused a fruitless tree to wither at his very command. Any area of our life that's fruitless, that's not producing the glory of God, that's not representing him well, he can curse it and cause it to be gone. He multiplied the few loaves and the fish. You know this. This is the Christ that you believe in. This is the Christ that you profess. This is the Christ that saved you. He multiplied the few loaves and fish so that you and I would bring the little that we are, put it in his hands, and allow him to do a miracle on the college campuses, in the high schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and take our little life, our weaknesses, our frailty, and cause us to glorify the holy name of the great I am. He'll take the little that you have. Oh, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to reach out. I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know how to be a witness for God. He'll take the little that you are and glorify his name so that you cannot take the glory, so that you cannot touch the merit. You cannot say, oh, it is because I studied so much, because I have a degree in this or that. It will be all glory goes to God. He took my few loaves. He took my few fish and he fed the multitudes. Hallelujah. He caused a great catch of fish when they had toiled all night. This is the Christ that we serve. This is the Christ that we sing glory to. Toiling all night, trying to do this in our own strength. He just tells them, guys, throw the net on this side. And they get such a catch that they have to cry out to the other boats to come in to help them because the nets are breaking. Guys, I don't know about you, but I see a day coming. I see a day coming where Times Square Church will be sent out to help other churches because they can't handle the influx of souls that are coming in. They'll be calling us. We need people to preach. We need people to teach. We need people for Sunday school. And we'll have to go. We'll have to go. People from the choir. We'll start other choirs in those churches. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the same Christ that we serve. The Christ that produces a great catch. Hallelujah. He demonstrated power over sickness, every manner of disease, power over Satan and all his demonic powers, power over the sepulcher and death itself. Oh, God. His wonders were so great, they inspired worship. Now, you have to understand, throughout Scripture, men declined worship. When people wanted to bow down before the apostles, they would say, no, get up. We're mere men just like you. Get up. Don't worship us. You just worship God. Amen? That's a lesson for us today. Amen? Even angels would decline worship because God is the only one to be worshiped. And yet Jesus, throughout all his ministry, was being worshiped left and right. People coming out of the woodwork, worshiping him, throwing themselves at his feet. And he never turned them down. He never turned them away. He said, no, get up. I'm just a messenger from heaven. No. He received the worship. Even to Satan in Luke chapter 4, verse 8 in the wilderness, he says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He's declaring himself to be God. So the evidence is in his message. The evidence is in his miracles that confirmed his message. And thirdly, the evidence is in his mission, which was the cross. See, I'm sorry, with all respect to other religions, Confucius didn't come to die for me. Buddha didn't die for me. Muhammad didn't die for me. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for me. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save the lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. That was his mission. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Since his birth to the day he gave his last breath on the cross, that was his message. He wasn't deterred. He wasn't swayed. The devil tried to get him off course many a time, but he stayed on course even to the day when he was on the cross. There were voices saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. But he chose to stay there because he was the Son of God, because he was God giving himself for our ransom, paying the price that we could never pay, saving our souls from sin and from the bondage that we were held captive in. Now my soul is troubled, he says in John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? His flesh is saying, what do I cry out for help to just avoid this hour where I have to go to the cross? And he says, he answers himself, but for this cause came I unto this hour. This is why I came. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He said, I am the good shepherd, John 10, verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He says in John 10, verse 18, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Oh, because he was God the Son, because he was the Son of God, he remained faithful to his call to go to the cross, to give his life a ransom for you and I, that you and I may live free from the shackles and the bondage of sin, not to make us a better person, but to make us a new person. He didn't give his life. He didn't take the torture so that we could just have a better life, but so that we can have eternal life and abundant life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus remained faithful to his mission. He was faithful in his miracles to confirm his message. Jesus gave us evidence that he was who he said he was. He took the punishment for our sins, for by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. That means the punishment that it took for you and I to have peace with God. It was upon him. Nobody else could pay that price. Nobody else could enable us to have peace with God, to stand in right standing, righteousness before God, to be able to approach into the Holy of Holies and approach in fellowship a holy God, because sin separated us. And none of us, I don't care how holy or religious religious you and I could be, we could never bridge the gap between a holy God and fallen humanity. God himself had to take on the robes of flesh and put on of humanity to come and pay the price. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," from the very inception of Jesus' ministry. Behold the Lamb of God. Not who is going to come and show us a more enlightened path. Not behold the Lamb of God who's going to come and teach us a new thing or two. Not behold the Lamb of God who's going to give us more prosperity and cause us to have more riches in this world. No, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My friends, if you're in sin today, you don't have to be any longer. Jesus Christ came and he was faithful to his mission. Hallelujah. If you're in sin, if you're in bondage, if you're in captivity, you don't have to be. You don't have to go home, still in chains, still in bondage, still behind bars. Jesus came and paid the price for you and I. All we have to do is receive it and accept it and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, God. I receive your sacrifice as mine." And that leads us to the greatest evidence. I believe, beyond just the message that he spoke, beyond just the miracles he performed, beyond just the cross, I believe the greatest evidence is when that cross, that message, and those miracles become a reality in your heart and mine. It's the greatest testimony to this fallen generation. It's the greatest testimony that will proclaim that Jesus is who he said he was. When your life and my life are a demonstration of his power, that we know who he is. We know who he is because he's done something great in our life. He just hasn't provided us with a parking space. He just didn't give us a promotion on the job. That's great when he does that. He just didn't allow me to have a family and a home. My friends, he changed my life forever. I was in darkness. I was bound and he set me free. I was in darkness and captivated. My mind was confused and he gave me light and understanding. My friends, I was dead. I was a dead man. I was in with Lazarus in the sepulcher and he called me by name and I came out wrapped up in death clothes, but he gave me life and I prayed his holy name. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me this afternoon? Hallelujah. Jesus, that's our prayer. Give us life. Oh, Jesus. When this generation looks to us to proclaim who Jesus is, let our very lives be a witness to your message, to your miracles, and to the cross. My call this afternoon is threefold. My friends, if you know all the theology, you know who Christ was, but you need it to be a reality in your heart and mind. You need it to be a reality in your walk, in your behavior. You need it to go from here to here. Are you understanding? From our understanding, intellectual understanding, theological understanding, to a life that's lived because he is who he said he is. You've heard the message, but you need a miracle in your heart. If that's you, come forward. Don't even wait for me to continue the rest of the altar call. Just begin to come forward. We're going to pray for you that that word would become flesh. The word of God says that the word that was always from the very beginning, that was God, became flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten Son of the Most High. If you want the word to become flesh in your life, become a reality, You're tired of just playing church. You're tired of just singing empty songs. We sing about it. You see people jumping up and down because they're thinking the shackles are gone, but your shackles are still there. My friends, come. Don't hesitate. Don't waste any time. Come. And Jesus wants to break those chains for you this hour and give you that reality, give you that testimony so that you'll know who Jesus is when this generation asks you, who is Jesus? If you're tired, if you're weary, if you feel alone, this altar call is for you. He said, "Come unto me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden." Oh, you're trying to impress God with your works. You're trying to do some religious stuff so that you could earn some points in heaven. Oh, come. Come as weary as you are. Come and say, "Enough is enough. I know the Christian life has got to be more than this. It's got to be more than just church attendance. It's got to be more than just volunteering and doing this or that. It's got to come from the heart. There's got to be something from the inside out. Emmanuel wants to reveal himself to you today. God with you. God with you. God that will sustain you. God that will give you strength to do all that you're called to do and be all that you're called to be. If you're struggling to resist temptation in your own strength, my friends, come, come. Don't hesitate. God wants to be your strength. God wants to give you power so that you will give him all the glory and say, only by God's grace am I standing, because the enemy would have taken me down. You want to walk on the waters of impossibility. You want to be the dad that God has called you to be. You want to be the mom to your children that God has called you to be. Come, come and expect that miracle from God. He wouldn't have put this on our hearts if it wasn't his will to do it in your life. We're not putting on a show here. There's nothing of showmanship here. This is God wanting to be real to you. And lastly, listen to this. Many were offended at Christ because he didn't come in the way that they expected him to come. They wanted him to abolish the Roman Empire and establish his kingdom here on earth. And they couldn't deal with the issue of the cross. If you are offended in any way at God and how he didn't come through for you the way you expected him to come through, today his loving arms, as he stretched forth his arms on the cross, they're open wide to you and saying, come, will you accept my sovereignty, that I am God and you're not, that I'm God and I know what's best for you, even when you think you know what's best. If that's you, come and deal with that issue in your heart and say, God, you said you are the way, so I want to go your way. I don't want to do it my way any longer. If that's you, as the musicians lead us in worship, just come. And then I'll come out and pray for you. You know what? You may have been offended in God, but he's not offended by you. You may have doubted him. You may have not represented him well. But I want to remind you of Thomas, one of the disciples, chosen to walk with Jesus throughout the 3 years of his ministry. And at the end, after the crucifixion, you find Thomas doubting that the other disciples have even encountered God. He's skeptical. He says, man, if I don't stick my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, and if I don't see the side that was pierced by the spear, then I'm not going to believe. And lo and behold, Jesus appears when they're behind closed doors. He speaks peace into their life. He says, Thomas, come look if you want to. They're here for you. You can touch. He's not offended. He's not scolding Thomas. I don't know what Thomas thought at the moment, but he probably was expecting God to be angry with him for his doubt, for his how he was offended in the way Christ handled the situation. But there was an invitation. Come, come. Come see that I am who I said I am. No condemnation. So Jesus invites you this afternoon to just behold his glory, to ask him, God, open my eyes to your sacrifice on the cross for me, to the power and the victory that you purchased for me. Give me a revelation. Thomas got that revelation. He got that revelation. He declares, my Lord and my God. He probably had never called Jesus my God because he probably was not sure. He probably always saw him, is he or is he not? Is he? I mean, he's gloriously showing who he was, but he probably never dared say, you're my God. I'm going all the way with you. I'm throwing everything into one basket. All my life, my future, my children, my plans, my job, my finances, my past, my present, my future, my weaknesses. I'm throwing it all at your feet. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my King. Father, that's all I pray this afternoon. God, that's all we pray. Reveal yourself as the great I am. God, we can preach about it, teach about it, but God, you've got to reveal yourself to them. You've got to reveal yourself to us, dear God, as who you are. Oh, God, so that this world would look upon us and know that we've been in your presence know that the God that we preach about is worthy of all praise. Because they see it, they hear it in our song, they see it in our life. They see the change that you've worked out in us. Make us, each and every one of us, a miracle, a walking miracle, dear God. A miracle, a testimony to the glory of your name. That people wouldn't even have to ask us for the right Bible verses to prove that you're God. They would see it in our lives and say, I know that the God you serve is the one and only true God. Do it in our life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.